Fantasy Radio presents Sunday Night Theatre.
Bit of a bombshell today. I'm just pegging up my stocking when Mr. Sudderby says, "I'm afraid, Miss Fossard, this is going to have to be our last encounter." Apparently, this latest burglary has put the tin hat on things, and what with Mrs. Sudderby's mother finally going into a home and their TV reception always being so poor, there's not much to keep them in Leeds, so they're making a bolt for it and heading off to Scarborough. Added to which, Tina, their chow, has a touch of arthritis, so the sands may help. And the upshot is they've gone in for a little semi near Peasholm Park. But, Mr. Sudderby says, none of that is of any consequence. What is important, Miss Fossard, is what are we going to do about your feet? You've been coming to me for so long, I don't like to think of your feet falling into the wrong hands. I said, "Well, Mr. Sudderby, I shall count myself very lucky if I find someone as accomplished as yourself, and if I may say so, with your sense of humour. Because it's very seldom we have a session in which laughter doesn't figure somewhere." He said, "Well, Miss Fossard, chiropody is a small world, and I've taken the liberty of making a few phone calls and come up with two possibilities. One is a young lady over in Roundhay, who I understand is very reasonable." "A woman?" I said. "In chiropody? Isn't that unusual?" "No," he said, "not nowadays. The barriers are coming down in chiropody as in everything else. It's progress, Miss Fossard, the march of, and Cindy Bickerton has her own salon." I said, "Cindy? That doesn't inspire confidence. She sounds as if she should be painting nails, not cutting them." "Well," he said, "in that case, the alternative might be more up your street. I don't know him personally, but Mr. Dunderdale has got all the right letters after his name. He's actually retired, but he still likes to take on a few selected clients just to keep his hand in. However, he does live out at Lawn's Wood, and unless I'm very much mistaken, you're not motorised." I said, "No problem. I can just bob on the 17. It's a bus I like." "No, if it's all the same to you and the Equal Opportunities Board, I'll opt for Mr. Dunderdale." He said, "I think it's a wise decision. Allow me," and he winked, "allow me," he said, "to shake hands with your feet." I've been going to Mr. Sudderby for years. I think it's an investment, particularly if you're like me and go in for slim-fitting court shoes. Squeeze, squeeze. Mr. Sudderby reads me the Riot Act, of course, but as he says, it's a free country, Miss Fossard. If you want to open the door to a lifetime of hard skin, I can't stop you. What view of this Mr. Dunderdale will take remains to be seen. When I get back, Mrs. Beavers has her hat and coat on. Can't wait to get off. Says Bernard has been propped up in a chair staring at the TV all evening. She helps me get him upstairs, and then I sit by the bed and, as per the recovery programme, give him a rundown on my day. Mr. Clarkson Hall down at the unit says that when somebody has had a cerebral accident, in lay terms a stroke, Miss Fossard, we must take care not to treat them like a child. If your brother is going to recover his faculties, dear lady, the more language one can throw at him, the better. I was just recounting my conversation with Mr. Sudderby and how they're decamping to Scarborough when Bernard suddenly throws back his head and yawns. I rang Mr. Clarkson Hall this morning. He says that's progress. I do miss work. I'm just getting my things on to go up to Mr. Dunderdale's this evening when Bernard has a little accident and manages to broadcast the entire contents of his bladder all the way down the stairs. Mrs. Beavers is taking her time coming, and it's only when I've got him all cleaned up and sitting on the throne that the doorbell eventually goes. Except even then it's not her, just a couple from church about Rwanda. I said, "Never mind Rwanda, can we deal with the matter in hand and get a middle-aged gentleman off the lavatory?" So we get him downstairs and manoeuvre him onto his chosen chair, 5 inches from the TV screen. After they've gone, I said, you can work the remote. It's about time you remembered how to wipe your own bottom. Not a flicker. Of course, that's where they have you with a stroke. You never know what goes in and what doesn't. When Mrs. Beavers eventually does roll up, she's half an hour late, which means I've missed the 10 past and have to run all the way up Dynley Road. So by the time I'm ringing Mr. Dunderdale's doorbell, I'm all flustered and very conscious that my feet may be perspiring. He said, well, if that is what is troubling you, Miss Fossard, I can straight away put paid to the problem, because I always kick off the proceedings by applying a mild astringent. Refined-looking fella, 70-odd, but with a lovely head of hair. One of the double-fronted houses that look over the cricket field. Rests my foot on a large silk handkerchief, which I thought was a civilised touch. Mr. Sudderby just used to use yesterday's Evening Post. He said, well, Miss Fossard, I take one look at these and I say to myself, here is someone who is on her feet a good deal. Am I right? I said, you are. I'm in charge of the soft furnishing department at Matthias Robinson's. Well, not was, until my brother was taken ill. Anything you want in Criton, you know where to come. He said, I might hold you to that, but meanwhile, could I compliment you on your choice of shoe? I said, well, as a rule, I steer clear of suede, because as a shoe, it's a bit high maintenance, but sometimes I think the effort with the texturiser pays dividends. He said, I can see we share a philosophy. If I may, I'll just begin by clipping your toenails. He said, of course, as soon as you walked in, I picked you out as a professional woman. I said, how? He said, by your discreet choice of accessories. I said, well, I favour a conservative approach to fashion. Peppy, but classic, if you know what I mean. He said, I do. There's been a verruca here, but it's extinct. Do you know why I chose the profession of chiropody? I said, no. He said, it's so that I could kneel at the feet of thousands of women and my wife would never turn a hair. I said, oh, is there a Mrs. Dunderdale? He said, there was. She passed over. When he'd finished, he rubbed in some mentholated oil, Moroccan apparently, and said I'd just feel a mild tingling effect, which wasn't unpleasant, and said my feet were in tip-top condition. The only possible cloud on the horizon, a pre-fungal condition between two of my toes that he wanted to keep a watchful eye on. I'd on a lovely cardigan. I said, I hope you'll excuse me asking, but is that cardigan cashmere? He said, well spotted, Miss Fossard. This may be the first time you've seen it, but it won't be the last. Could I offer you a glass of sweet sherry? Church warden at St. Wilfrid's, apparently. Past president of the Inner Wheel, and nicely off by the looks of it. A pillar of the community. When he's at the door, he says, next time, if you're very good, I shall initiate you into the mysteries of the metatarsal arch. I thought about it on the bus, and when I gave Mrs. Beavers her money, I told her that with my wanting to get back to work, she'd no need to come again, as I was going to advertise for someone permanent. Bernard's got a bit put by, and if this isn't a rainy day, I don't know what is. He was watching TV, so I switched it off and took him through my evening, as Mr. Clarkson Hall said I should. He looked a bit snotty, but I said, Bernard, nobody ever learned to talk again by watching the snooker. Told him about Mr. Dunderdale and the pre-fungal condition between my toes, his cashmere cardigan and whatnot. As Mr. Clarkson Hall says, Miss Fossard, it doesn't matter what you say so long as it's language. Language is balls coming at you from every angle. And it's working. I'd got him into bed and was just closing the door when I heard him say his first word. I think it was cow. When I rang Mr. Clarkson Hall to tell him, he said, why cow? I said, probably an advert on TV. Still, he agreed. It's a breakthrough. It was just that bit warmer today, so I thought if I went along in my mustard Danimak, I could team it with my ancient peep-toe sandals that haven't had an airing since last summer when I had a little run over to Whitby with Joy Poyser. Well, Mr. Dunderdale couldn't get over them. Said he'd not seen a pair like them in 15 years, and that in the support they gave to the instep, plus the unimpeded circulation of air via the toe, no more sensible shoe had ever been devised. Made me parade up and down the room in them, and would have taken a photograph only he couldn't put his hands on his Polaroid. Anyway, I'm taking them along so that we can do it next time. Wants me to go fortnightly until my tinea pedis yields to treatment, but he's going to do it for the same fee. And now that I'm back at work and we've got Miss Malloy coming in to see to Bernard, there's no problem. She said, call me Mallory. I said, Mallory? What sort of name is that? I wouldn't be able to put a sex to it. She says, well, I'm Australian. Strong girl. Very capable, and a qualified physiotherapist with a diploma in caring. It's Australian caring, but I suppose it'll be the same as ours, only minus the bugbear of hypothermia. Ideally, I would have preferred someone older, or someone less young anyway, only we weren't exactly inundated with applicants, which surprised me, because I'd have thought it would have been a nice little sideline for a pensioner. Though, they'd have to be able-bodied. She chucks Bernard about as if he's two ha'porth a copper. Hails from Hobart, Tasmania, originally. I suppose England offers more scope for caring than the bush. And she and Bernard seem to hit it off. Says she likes his sense of humour. I said to Joy Poyser, news to me, I didn't know he had one. Mind you, it's bearing fruit as movement's certainly coming back. He can hop up and downstairs now, more or less under his own steam. Speech, too. Because, of course, with him having company all day, he gets the practice. I was telling the whole saga of the stroke to Mr. Dunderdale as he was tackling a patch of hard skin. He said, what did Bernard do, Miss Fossard? I said, not to put too fine a point on it, Mr. Dunderdale, he was a murderer. He said, oh, that's unusual. I said, well, he was a tobacconist, which comes to the same thing. Sweets and tobacco, a little kiosk in Headingley. He said, yes, well, sweets and tobacco, it's a lethal combination. I said, he smoked, he was overweight, and he certainly liked to drink. Worry is another cause, I know, but as I said to Mr. Clarkson Hall, that is something he never did. But now, of course, he's paying for it. Only what seems unfair is that I'm paying for it too. Mr. Dunderdale looked up and he said, yes. And he had my foot in his hand. He said, yes, if there had been 13 disciples instead of 12, the other one would have been you, Miss Fossard. Green silk handkerchief this time. Last week it was red. The words are beginning to come back, though, no doubt about it. And when he can't manage a word, I get him to do what Mr. Clarkson Hall suggested, namely, describe what he means and skirt a path round it. Miss Malloy makes him do it as well, and she says one way and another they get along. Bathes him every day, rubs him with baby oil, says that where bed sores are concerned, prevention is better than cure. I still go in on a night and give him all my news. Mr. Dunderdale had been saying that it was a pity evolution had taken the turn that it did, because if it hadn't, we might have found ourselves making as much use of our feet as we do our hands, which in the present economic climate might have been just what's needed to tip the balance. Miss Malloy said, that's interesting. Only Bernard just groans. Personally, I'm surprised she can put up with him, but she says that by Australian standards, he's a gentleman. I hear them laughing. Soft furnishings were always a bit slack first thing, so I'll generally do a little wander over into floor coverings and have a word with Estelle Metcalf. I wish it was housewares we were next to, as that would make it Joy Poyser, because Estelle's all right, but she's a bit on the young side. Big glasses. Boyfriend's one of these who dress up as cavaliers at the weekend. I said to her this morning, shiatsu. She said, come again. I said, shiatsu, what is it? She said, is it a tropical fish? I said, no. She said, is it a mushroom? I said, no. She said, is it Mr. Dunderdale? I said, why should it be Mr. Dunderdale? She said, because most things are with you these days. I said, I shall ignore that, Estelle. Suffice it to say, it's a form of massage involving various pressure points on the body that was invented by the Japanese. She said, that's all very well, but it didn't stop them doing Pearl Harbor, did it? Neville's besieging York on Sunday, trying out his new breastplate. Estelle's going along as an imploring housewifer comes out under a flag of truce. Just then a customer comes in wanting some seersucker slipovers, so we had to cut it short. I don't talk about Mr. Dunderdale, and if I do, she talks about Oliver Cromwell. I go weekly now, though Mr. Dunderdale won't charge me any more. I was sat on the sofa afterwards while he put away his instruments, and he said, good news, Miss Fossard, we seem to have cracked the Tenaeopedis. Not a trace of it left. I think that calls for a sherry refill. Are you in a hurry to get off? I said, no, why? He said, well, we still have a little time in hand, and I wonder if I might prevail upon you to try on a pair of booties. I said, booties? He said, well, I'm using the term loosely. They're technically what we would call a fur-lined Gibson bruised look. But booties is a convenient shorthand. The shade is Bengal bronze. I said, well, they're a lovely shoe. He said, yes, cosy, ankle-hugging. They make a beautiful ending to the leg. They're a present, of course. I said, oh, Mr. Dunderdale, I couldn't. He said, Miss Fossard, please, my contacts in the world of footwear procure me a considerable discount. Besides, there is a little something you can do for me in return. I said, oh. He said, my years in bending over ladies' feet have resulted in an intermittently painful condition of the lower back, which, if you are amenable, you have in your power to alleviate. I said, I do, Mr. Dunderdale. He said, you do, Miss Fossard. I'm going to put one cushion on the hearthrug here for my head and the other here for my abdomen, and now I'm going to lie down, and what I want you to do is to step on my lower back. I said, should I take the booties off? He said, no, keep the booties on. Their texture makes them ideal for the purpose. That's it. Steady yourself by holding on to the edge of the mantelpiece if you want. Then he said something I couldn't hear because his face was pressed into the carpet. What was that, Mr. Dunderdale? I said. Excellent, Miss Fossard. You may move about a little if you would care to. I said, I'm anxious not to hurt you, Mr. Dunderdale. He said, have no fears on that score, Miss Fossard. Trample away. I said, I feel like one of those French peasants treading the grapes. He said, yes, yes, yes. I said, do you feel the benefit? He said, yes, yes, I do. Thank you. If you don't mind, Miss Fossard, I'll just lie here for a little while. Perhaps you could see yourself out. So I just left him on the hearthrug. When I got back, Bernard is sitting on the sofa with Miss Malloy, both of them looking a bit red in the face. We were just laughing, Miss Malloy says, because Bernard couldn't think of a word. Well, I said, he must learn to skirt around it. Oh, he did that all right, she said. You're an expert at that, aren't you, Bernard? And they both burst out laughing. Mr. Clarkson Hall's very pleased with him. Says he's never known a recovery so quick. Says he didn't have the privilege of knowing Bernard before, but he imagines he's now quite like his old self. I said, yes, he is. After Miss Beloy had gone, he comes in here while I'm having me hot drink and says he's thinking of opening the kiosk again and that Mallory is going to help him. I said, does Miss Malloy have any experience of sweets and tobacco? He said, no, but she's a fun-loving girl with a welcoming whatever it's called, and that's half the battle. Note from Mr. Dunderdale this morning, saying his back is much better and that he was looking forward to seeing me next week. Estelle suffers in the back department, the legacy from once having had to wield a spare pike at the Battle of Naseby. So I was telling her all about me helping Mr. Dunderdale with his. Only she wasn't grateful. Just giggles and says, ooh, still waters. Floor coverings. They ought to have somebody more mature. She really belongs in cosmetics. I don't know what's got into people at work. I come in this morning and the commissionaire with the moustache who's on the staff door says, "Have a good day, me duck." I said, "You may have only one arm, Mr. Capstick, but that doesn't entitle you to pat me on the bottom." Next thing is, I'm invoicing some loose covers in dispatch when one of the work experience youths, who can't be more than 16, gives me a silly wink. I said to Estelle, "My Viella two-piece doesn't normally have this effect." She said, "Well, they're just wanting to be friendly." I said, "Friendly? Estelle, I may not be a feminist, though I did spearhead the provision of potpourri in the ladies' toilets, but people are not going to pat my bottom with impunity." Estelle says, "No, the boot's on the other foot," and starts giggling. I said to Joy Poyser, "However she manages to interest anyone in serious vinyl flooring, I do not understand." House dark when I got in. I imagine they're in the sitting room, the pair of them, only I call out and there's no sound. So I get me tea and read the Evening Post. Nice to have the place to myself for a change. Then I go in the sitting room and there's Bernard sitting there in the dark. I put the light on and he's got the Atlas open. I said, "What are you doing in the dark?" He said, "Looking up the Maldives Islands." "Why?" I said, "You're not going on holiday." He said, "No, I'm not. How can I go on bloody holiday? What with?" And he shoves a bank statement at me. I've a feeling he's been crying and I'm not sure where to put myself. So I go put the kettle on while I look at his statement. There's practically nothing in it. Money taken out nearly every day. I said, "What's this?" He said, "It's that tart from Hobart." I said, "Miss Malloy? But she's a qualified physiotherapist." He said, "Yes, and she's something else. She's a, what you call it, female dog." I said, "Did you sign these cheques?" He said, "Of course I signed them." I said, "What were you doing, practising writing?" He said, "No." I said, "Where is she?" He said, "The Maldives Islands, where I was going to be." I said, "Well, we must contact the police. It's fraud, is this?" He said, "No, it isn't." I said, "Well, what did you think these cheques were for?" He said, "I knew what they were for services rendered, and I don't mean lifting me on and off the what's it's called. It's stuff she did for me." I said, "What stuff?" He said, "You know." I said, "Remember what Mr. Clarkson Hall says, Bernard, trace a path round the word." He said, "I don't have to trace a path round the bloody word. I know the word. It's you that doesn't. You don't know bloody nothing." I said, "Well, one thing is plain. Despite your cerebral accident, your capacity for foul language remains unimpaired." He said, "You're right. It bloody does." I made him some tea. I said, "She's made a fool of you." Bernard said, "You can speak." I said, "You mean talk. I know I can speak. The expression is, you can talk. Anyway, why?" He said, "Monkeying about with your foot, fella." I said, "Mr. Dunderdale, what's he got to do with it?" He said, "Little games and whatnot. He's obviously a... I said, "A what?" He said, "A thing." I said, "Skirt a path round the word, Bernard, a what?" He said, "Skirt it yourself, you stupid... four legs, two horns, where you get milk." I said, "Cow, you normally remember that." I was telling Joy Poyser about it and she said, "Well, why did you tell him about the chiropodist?" I said, "Mr. Clarkson Hall said that I should talk to him. It's part of the therapy." She said, "It's not part of the therapy for Estelle Metcalf, is it? You told her. She's not had a stroke. Apparently she's spread it all over the store." Anyway, I came upstairs, left him crying over the Atlas, when suddenly I hear a crash. I said, "Bernard? Bernard? Bernard!" Estelle ventured into soft furnishings yesterday, first time for a week. Testing the water, I suppose. Said Neville was taking part in the Battle of Marston Moor on Sunday. She's going along as a camp follower, but they're short of one or two dishevelled roundhead matrons, and was I interested? I said, "It's kind of you to offer, Estelle, but I think from now I'd be well advised to keep a low profile." P. People don't like to think you have a proper life. That's what I've decided. Or any more of a life than they know about. Then when they find out, they think it's shocking. Else funny. I never thought I had a life. It was always Bernard who had the life. It's worse this time than the last. Eyes used to follow you then. Not now. Log. Same rigmarole, though. Talk to him. Treat him like a person. Not that he's ever treated me like a person. Meanwhile, Madam has laid out on the beach in the Maldives. He was on the rug when I found him. 2 inches the other way and he'd have hit his head on the fender. Lucky escape. I'd written to Mr. Dunderdale, cancelling any further appointments. I didn't say why, just that with Bernard being poorly again, it wasn't practical anyway. Which it wasn't. So it was back to normal, sitting with Bernard, doing a few little jobs. I'd forgotten how long an evening could be. Anyway, I was coming away from work one night and a big brownie-coloured car draws up beside me. The window comes down and blow me if it isn't Mr. Dunderdale. He said, "Good evening, Miss Fossard. Could I tempt you up to Lawn's Wood? I'd like a little chat." I said, "Could we not talk here?" He said, "Not in the way I'd like. I'm on a double yellow line." So I get in. And he runs me up there, and whatever else you can say about him, he's a very accomplished driver. Anyway, he sits me down in his study and gives me a glass of sherry and says, "Why did I not want to come and see him any more?" Well, I didn't know what to say. I said, "It isn't as if I don't look forward to my appointments." He said, "Well, dear lady, I look forward to them too." I said, "But now that I have to get help in for Bernard again, I can't afford to pay you." He said, "Well, may I make a suggestion? Why don't we reverse the arrangement?" I said, "Come again?" He said, "Do it vice versa. I pay you." I said, "Well, it's very unusual." He said, "You're a very unusual woman." I said, "I am? Why?" He said, "Because you're a free spirit, Miss Fossard. You make your own rules." I said, "Well, I like to think so." He said, "I'm the same. We're two of a kind, you and I, Miss Fossard. Mavericks. Have you ever had any champagne?" I said, "No, but I've seen it at the conclusion of motor races." He said, "Allow me. To the future." It's all very decorous. Quite often he'll make us a hot drink and we'll just sit and turn over the pages of one of his many books on the subject or converse on matters related. I remarked the other day how I'd read that Imelda Marcos had a lot of shoes. He said she did, and she suffered for it at the bar of world opinion, in my view, Miss Fossard, unjustly. Little envelope on the hall table as I go out, never mentioned, and if there's been anything beyond the call of duty, there'll be that little bit extra. Buys me no end of shoes, footwear generally. I keep thinking, where's it all going to end? But we'll walk that plank when we come to it. I've never had the knack of making things happen. I thought things happened, or they didn't. Which is to say, they didn't. Only now they have, sort of. Bernard gets an attendance allowance now, and what with that and the envelopes from Mr. Dunderdale, I can stay on at work and still have someone in to look after him. Man this time, Mr. Albright, pensioner, so he's glad of a job. Classy little fella, keen on railways, and reckons to be instigating Bernard into the mysteries of chess. Though Mr. Albright has to play both sides, of course. At one point I said to Mr. Dunderdale, "People might think this rather peculiar, particularly in Lawn's Wood." He said, "Well, people would be wrong. We are just enthusiasts, Miss Fossard, you and I, and there's not enough enthusiasm in the world these days. Now, if those Wellingtons are comfy, I just want you in your own time, and as slowly as you like, very gently, to mark time on me bottom." Occasionally, he'll have some music on. I said once, "I suppose that makes this the same as aerobics." He said, "If you like." It's droll, but the only casualty in all this is my feet, because nowadays the actual chiropody gets pushed to one side a bit. If I want an MOT, I really have to nail him down. We're still Mr. Dunderdale and Miss Fossard, and I've not said anything to anybody at work. Learned my lesson there. Anyway, people keep saying how well I look. I suppose there's a word for what I'm doing, but I skirt around it.
Sunday Night Theatre.